share something this morning. This is a very, very important decision for all of us. One of the reasons is, it culminates finally the greatest ever sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for the people whom God has chosen. Now, as you know, from the very beginning, the sinful nature that is in us is due to the original sin. The original sin, we know what caused the original sin, is absolutely disobedient to the commandment of God. What is the commandment? God says to be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful means that to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and bring forth the people who has the very image of God. And that's why it was messed up by Satan when he got his agent serpent to come in between and come and messed up the plan of God, of course being fruitful in the wrong way. So as a result of that, this original sin is due to the carnal relationship between Eve and the serpent, which is not part of the original image of God. So as a result of when God expected Adam, who was in the very image of God, who was righteous, holy, complete, perfect, he was perfect image of God, and he expected Adam and Eve to bring forth every seed of God who is a replica or the image of God. Now what, as a result of disobedience and the act between the Eve and the serpent resulted in a seed coming forth, as according to the Bible, which mentions seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent, which is not of God. And the seed of the serpent, which is have the absolute animalistic nature. Animalistic, the sinful, there is no alliance or allegiance to God. And that's why we find at the very beginning that Abel, who was the seed of Adam, was killed by the seed of the serpent. And ever since that day, and ever since the day that the seeds, the Cain's people, which is all together the seed of the serpent, and also the Seth's people mingle together, we, you and I have in our system the sinful nature, which is called the animalistic nature, which comes part of the blood of the serpent, part of it. That's why we find today most of us behave like sometimes animals, sometimes good. And what happens is, it is in the system, it is in our DNA right now, which is called our blood system right now. It is, every human being's DNA has this sinful nature, which is essentially the nature of the serpent, nature of the serpent, Satan. Now, when Jesus came, who was sinless, when he died on the cross, what happens is he shed the blood. Now very, very often many Christians don't know the reasons for the shedding of the blood. You know, because in Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 9, verse 10, it says here, without shedding of the blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of the blood, no remission. Means there is no way that you can get rid of the sinful nature. Because our blood, our DNA is bad. It's mixed. So the only way, that's why Jesus, the sacrifice he made, the sacrifice, you see, in those days, what happened was, when God chose the nation of Israel, he ordained the sinless animal sacrifice, the lambs, the lambs which are sinless, as the lambs, the goats and the bulls were offered as a replica of that. In fact, Abel at the very beginning started when he offered the lamb as a sacrifice. But God knew that's only a shadow of the things to come. because it's just to give a shadow of things to a nation which you have chosen. Even today there are many religions sacrifice various things, animals, the flowers, the fruits and all. But one thing is very sure, none of those things, neither bulls or the goats or the lambs or the fruits or the plant and the pineapples can never ever take the sinful nature that is in you and in me. The only way that it is possible is to have our DNA change. The only way that the DNA can be changed is through the sinless blood. And we have, you know, in our body we have this, in the biblical and even in scientifically it's true, we know the fact that the life of the blood, life of the body is in the blood, life of the flesh is in the blood. No, our flesh, life of the flesh is in the blood, and life of the blood is in the spirit. You know, we have the spirit in us. We also have our own spirit, but we are the spirit of God. So the life of the blood is in the spirit, and then the life of the spirit is where? What happens? We have various spirits in this world, roaming in this dimensions of world. You know, we have diabolical spirits. I was reading a very interesting book, how these diabolical spirits survive and thrive by particularly like, they're like these flies. So like, you know, they just go and get into a bad place and get more of this and fly to another place and infect those places. That's how the same way the, some of these demonic spirits operate. So there is a diabolical spirits operates. So the only way the very spirit of God can come upon us is in the name. Now Jesus shed his blood 2000 years ago and nobody collected the blood. He shed the blood, nobody bought the cans and collected his blood. His blood is shed and it is shed on the planet earth, right? And then what happens is, where is his blood now? Now the blood is in the name. And that is why the Bible says there is no other name given under heaven for man's salvation or redemption. You know, that's why we use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in his name. You know, there is power in his name, because in the very beginning, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, when it asks by Peter, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized. In Acts 2:38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what? For the remission of sins. No, Jesus forgives sins. You know, you and I have, now you and I are here because he has forgiven us. You know, we can go to him at any time to be obtain forgiveness for mistakes, sins, faults we do every time. That's forgiveness. But there has to be remission, you know, remission of the original DNA in us. When that is done, only that we have the Spirit of God fighting the flesh to live a life which is pure and acceptable before God. And that's the most beautiful thing that God has given to us. There is no other, you know, actually I was every day, every morning I was telling the Lord, and when I get up, I always thank the Lord for the breath I have. You know, the breath is given by God from the vast ocean of life. I thank God and say, Lord, yesterday, there are many people who are living yesterday, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, this morning they are not there. They have become part of the dust of the earth and part of the history which is forgotten. But I am alive because by the grace of God. And also, you know, not only I have life, the breath, but I have a life eternal God has given. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, it's an absolute privilege and honor I have that I can come into his presence. And I can also lift up my voice and call upon his name. And I can also be proud that I have the title called the Son of God or a child of God. There are many people don't have. There are many children in this world, many sons in this world, but none of them are, very few of them are sons of God. Very few of them are children of God. So you and I have this beautiful opportunity to call him Father. Divine, everlasting, omnipotent Father. And that's an absolute, can't think about it, absolute privilege. It's an absolute honor that we have. And how could we go into the presence of God? The only way that you can go into the presence of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says there is no other way other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have that, because of that privilege, that revelation, that we can go to God. We don't have to go to box and talk to an idol, because idols are helpless. We don't have to go to a holy place, because God is so awesome. He fills the universe. No, He fills the universe. He's so awesome. And not only He fills the universe, His fragrance, His aroma is, you can experience every moment, you know. And that's the privilege that you and I have. And that's why that God has given away, He has not only forgiven us, now He wants to go to the next step of remission of the sins, the DNA, change of our DNA. Change the DNA of us, so that we no longer have alliance or allegiance or the desire to be part of the sinful nature, but we would have the power and the spirit and the presence of God to overcome the acts of the flesh. And that's why we have this wonderful opportunity. And also the other important aspect, you know, the relationship between God and His children also relate as a relationship of a man and a woman, a bride and a bridegroom. You know, that's so beautiful. Jesus is the bridegroom, and that's why there is a absolute love relationship between His children and Himself. So He, even the time of Israel, He told God, told, I'm a husband to you. I'm your husband, but you have left me to the children of Israel. But in the same time, we are Gentile bride. That's why we are called the bride of Christ, because we have been chosen by to love, to demonstrate His love, a sacrificial love. So what happens is, even in a marriage, what happens after the tying the knot, after writing in the book, what happens? The bride take the name of the bridegroom. Thereafter, bride is no longer identified by her maiden name. She would be identified by the name of the husband, the bridegroom. And this is one of the important things here, because you have an engagement that's there. So we have sins have been forgiven. We go through that period of getting close to God, and then finally we enter into a matrimony or the marriage or a bondage between God and us, to make sure that we are giving a commitment. Our DNA is now changed, that we are now walking in the Spirit, not to fulfill anything else of our, but to fulfill the divine design that God has for us. So this baptism here today is a important step, where you are taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a bridegroom, as a bride. Bridegroom's name is taken, and that's the point where you have the right to be called a child of God, or the true Christian, or a son or a daughter of God. And there you would have you would be seated in heavenly places. You know, what happens is, when He says, when He redeems His people, He will give them opportunity to be seated in heavenly places. Now when you are seated in heavenly places, you would begin to see the things of the kingdom. You begin to hear the voice of the Lord. And that's indeed what we are witnessing here today. And I think there are many religious activities in this world, but this is different. This is, we are getting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most powerful name, applied to us individually. And not only that, and with that we would have the sins remitted. And that's why Jesus said, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. So Jesus came, He shed the blood, sinless blood, and now today we have the blood in His name. And when you apply the name to our lives, then what happens is, then the Spirit of the Lord is coming into us. And then when we have that, it is going to change the entire self. Our whole drive, our whole thing is going to be changed. And that's indeed is, I believe, that the Lord has, and especially for three of you, and you are taking this step today, I can tell you that every time, you know, children of Israel obey the word, they were blessed. You know, God is a covenant keeping God. Covenant means agreement, holy agreement. And every time they obey the word, God is bound to open up His blessings. He is not just a one way God. He's just, you know, He's always make sure that people who are obedient to His word, is always the Lord will open the manifold blessings which He had designed for His children. And I know from the time, you know, when I took the baptism, way back in 1983, you see, the way when I opened the Bible, you know, for me to understand it is very clear. And always the Lord would lead me to good things, you know, prevent me from dangers. Even if I head on to dangers, at the right moment the Lord pulls me out. You know, there are many situations like that, and I have experience in my life, and I know, and the Lord will also make sure that it will experience. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful to you, Lord, for this very moment. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have given us opportunity, Lord, that you would, Father, begin to, Father, minister unto us, Lord. As we are going to be obedient to your holy word and take your name upon us, Lord. And I pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your mighty hand to prevail upon us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Ravi, will you have anything to say?
Yes, sir. Okay. As Brother Chandra said, it's a marriage between the Lord and you, right? So in the book of Romans, go home and read. I will not relate all the details. Starting from the chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7. It tells about a beautiful thing that you are going to get married to the Lord, right? So before getting, sometimes you may wonder why you need to go under the water and come out of water. That's burial and resurrection, right? So, because burial is your death to your former life is very important, because you were part, although you may not know, you were married to the devil, right, when you were born into this world, right, you were born into sin, right? So your former life has to go off. And it tells in the book of Romans that when you commit adultery, if a man and woman is married, and then if they have a relationship with another man or woman, it's called adultery or bigamy or whatever you call it, and you break two laws. One is the law of the land, other is the law, the spiritual law that God has put up to us, right? So you break these two laws. So God will never break a law which He has put, right? So He has a wonderful way that, you know, through the waters of baptism, our former life dies, right? So then He is free to marry you to Him.
Amen.
Release you to, you know, otherwise He is also committing spiritual adultery, so He will never do that. So it's a beautiful, very simple way, right? How the Lord is reconciling you back to Him, right? So once you get married to the Lord, you are going to live a new life.
Amen.
Right? This new life that you have to live in the life of faith, right? It's a law to us, you know, to the New Testament believers, that we have law, live in faith, right? How to live is to apply the Word of God into your life, right? Renew your mind with the Word of God and to live in accordance with the Word of God, right? So when you are a bride, you don't like to, you know, displease your groom, right? You like to live, you know, pleasing to Him, right? So you want to live a pleasing life to the Lord, follow the Word of God, don't follow the way of the world, right? Follow the Word of God. You may not see the answer immediately, but as you follow the Word of God in faith,
yes,
you will see the mighty hand of God working in your life, and the resurrection life, the self-same spirit that raised Christ from the dead,
yes,
will start working in your,
amen,
life and will give you that resurrection life that is needed for,
amen,
each and every one of, you know, all of us,
amen,
right? To overcome the powers of Satan,
yes,
to overcome the powers of evil. That is where you will have the power in going through the waters of baptism,
yes,
and taking the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Christ,
Jesus.
Right? So with that, I think that's more than enough. I think.